Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
WEEI Afternoons. We've spent some time talking about the Boston Red Sox. We'll get back to them because it is a big series with a big-ish young player joining the roster, because I still continue to find the password, Justinkson Garcia, who's been promoted to the Red Sox, listed at 6'160", which...
I also found that. He's not in the lineup tonight, though, so
no,
okay.
He's not in the lineup, but when you work next to somebody who's 6'5", 6'4", and... 250, we'll
250,
say.
Yeah. Ish.
That made him less of a hoss, but I'm still excited to see him. Anyway, also down in New York or New Jersey tonight, MetLife Stadium, the preseason finale, which definitely does feel a little more exciting for the home team because Jackson Dart, I believe, is going to be on the field. Jackson Dart is the future. Jackson Dart's had some buzz and making plays this summer. The Patriots probably not going to see Drake May or starters or anything like that. But what do we want to see, Ted Johnson? If I asked you, like, and I know depth is an issue for you, and some of the guys that are replaying are going to be depth guys. You asked Curran about linebacker, for example. Like, hey, if Robert Spillane gets hurt, who's going to be the middle linebacker on this football team?
Yeah.
What are some of the things you're going to be watching for tonight?
I'm going to be watching for Kyle Duggar. How's he play? What's he look like? You know, Anfernee Jennings. These are all bubble guys or guys that are rumored to be, you know, traded. You know, Javon Baker, bubble guy. What's he look like? I'm curious about the kind of the safety position in general. Del Pettis, Marcus Epps, who out of those two? I don't think they'll keep both. So, who of those two guys? How do they look? I'm curious. Even though it's just not sexy to talk about depth, but just, you know, who's going to back up Robert Spillane? Marte Mapu is on the depth chart behind Robert Spillane. Is he playing inside linebacker? I'd be curious. And what does he look like? Jeremiah Farms, he's going into his third year. He's a defensive end. Does he get squeezed out because they got some young guys they drafted at his position? And then maybe the kicking there's a little bit of a kicking battle, because I think they would be okay cutting their sixth-rounder kicker, Andy Burgalis, if they think Parker Romo is going to be better. So I'll be curious to watch that. Those are some of the things that I'm looking forward to. Then there's Jamichael Hastings, who I thought kind of flashed in last week's game. Do they keep four running backs? And if so, is that your fourth guy? So those are some of the things. Otherwise, you know, the offensive line, it really kind of – I think all the starters for offensive line won't play.
Right.
So it's hard to really glean too much from the offensive line. But those are some of the storylines.
Fitzy, the kicker situation, you brought it up to Curran. And Ted, I don't know how happy they'll be to cut the rookie kicker. Not happy, maybe that's the wrong word. But, you know, we're talking about last year's rookie class being gone, basically, depending on how cuts come down, that it's just Drake May. And then all of a sudden you draft yet another kicker and you immediately cut him. That just kind of adds to that whole narrative about, are the draft issues ongoing? You know, did we not stop that? Have we not fixed that? And that's why
I think they would keep a guy over, because – If that's the case, sorry to interrupt, Andy, but if you're a player, and it's clear to everyone in the room that Parker Romo, the kid that they didn't draft, is a better option than the kicker they did draft, yet they keep the kicker they drafted.
Nope,
bad signal to send to your team.
Here's what you do. It's what I predicted. Pat on the back, victory lap time about a month ago for Jalen Polk. I kind of expected him to end up on IR because that's the way you save face. You get us. No, we didn't cut our second round pick in his second season. You remember he was on IR that year, and then we cut him the third year. It wouldn't stun me if the kicker after tonight's game looked like he had a leg injury or something, and Borregales goes on IR for
probably
the year.
Probably so.
That's how
he'd
think
he'd be the perfect candidate for that.
Yeah, you save face. But Fitzy, are you? You seem very interested in the kicking battle. Do you have – is it Parker Romo? Not John Parker Romo, but obviously Parker Romo.
Yeah, you drop the name, you get better at kicking. He was the guy they brought in last year to back up and or put a challenge to Joey Sly once he started struggling. I would like them to just find one, stick with one. a lot of teams grab one and hold on to them for a long time. Of course, Chad Ryland, as soon as they cut bait with him, went out to Arizona and became excellent. Just find your kicker and stick with him. You don't need to draft another one, you know, ditching Nick Folk the way they did. Just find a freaking kicker. So I'm actually rooting for Parker Romo to make whatever hit kicks he gets tonight, drop the ball in the appropriate drop zone, loading zone, landing zone, whatever the hell you call it on his kickoffs, and just be done with it. And I would not be surprised at all if Jalen Polk has to move over in the Foxborough Flu Clinic for Andy Borgalis.
Ted, you brought up Kyle Duggar as somebody that we'll be watching. We just talked to Tommy Curran. He had a pretty strong opinion of how things are going to play out for Kyle Duggar.
What do you think ultimately happens with Kyle Duggar here in the next week?
I imagine they move on from him because, you know, you have the cap space to take the cap hit now. You can trade him and try and see if someone will take on his, I believe, $9 million salary, or if you can offset that salary a little bit and get somebody to give you a draft pick, and maybe they'll take three and you can take six. But to me, you have to cut bait. It's a four-year, $58 million contract. There's a $15 million cap hit this year if he stays on the team. And if you release him, you're going to take $14 million in dead money, but at least you're going to duck the long-term ramifications. So you have the room to admit your mistake now and take the cap hit and move on. Why is he a mistake? I don't know. I don't think he's a horrible player. He's certainly not a $15 million player. There are a lot of panic buys perpetrated by Elliott Wolf last year when he realized nobody wanted to come here as a free agent, and they had a oodle of guys who were coming up with contracts. So they said, let's just vomit this money out on all these players. And by and large, they were stupid moves.
Tough time to be Elliott Wolf.
He's taken a bludgeoning.
Between his draft picks, his contracts.
I mean, that's why it's hard to take him serious when he talks. It's kind of like, you know, it's Charlie Brown's teacher when he talks, because I don't think he has any power.
Is he gone already? Is it a foregone conclusion?
No.
You think he stays?
Yeah.
And you think he's kind of the eyes and ears of the ownership?
Oh, yes. They have them all over there. There's guys that are still there that used to drive Pintos when I first was drafted. Yeah. And you see them driving around in Range Rovers now. You know, they've been taken care of. They are in the circle of trust. The Crafts don't trust a lot of people, but Elliott Wolf is one of them that he trusts. He will go back and report whatever is said in the pertinent meetings and know it will be it won't be filtered.
Is this team good enough, Fitzy, to be cut? Because I agree with Tom Curran. I don't think Kyle Duggar is a horrific football player, right? Without talent, is this team good enough to be letting go of people that have some competitive NFL talent?
I don't understand why. The guy is not a top five or a top 10 safety, but he's good enough to play in the NFL. Are any of your other safeties, save for Jabril Peppers, so much more demonstrably better than Kyle Duggar, who's entering his, sixth season in the NFL? So he should be sort of in the middle or close to the tail end of his prime, probably just right smack in the middle. Are they good enough to get rid of him? I think it seems like a mistake. I honestly do.
That's where I push back on Tom to just think, what's if you're cutting him, then you're saying the only reason you would cut him is if you thought you had better options there.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to think that they have better, that there's players that are better than him. So if you're going to take the cap hit, why not pay him anyway? Is he a bad influence behind the scenes? Is he bringing the younger guys down? If he's not, I think you're better off keeping him.
Me too. I would have him on my – I used to do an exercise for Patriots Football Weekly where it was dumb, and I don't know why I started doing it. But I would rank the roster 1 to 90 this time of year. Literally just one, not based on position or anything, but like how good you are at your job. And I think if you do that, if you just rank the roster of Patriots players, Kyle Duggar is in the top 53 players that you would list. You can't find 53 guys that are better NFL players. Now, fit and scheme and all these other things we talk about, but even if it's just have an athlete to cover kicks, you can't tell me he'd be a good he wouldn't be a good core four special teams guy, right? And I know you don't usually pay $15 million for a core four special teams backup safety, but are we trying to put the best 53 guys on the football field?
That's what you would think, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the one thing. I mean, does he push back? I mean, some guys, when you get paid like that, you're like, wait, special teams? I don't do special teams. I haven't heard any report that would say that he is not above doing special teams. I think that's where they got to get value out of him by at least playing him on special teams. And I would think he would be just as good as who would replace him as the last safety anyway on special teams anyway. So I just don't understand, unless he's a bad influence, the downside of not keeping him.
Fitzy, have you seen that anywhere? I know you scour the social medias and all that. Have you seen any even partial allusions to Kyle Duggar is a bad teammate or pain
Zero.
In the ass? Or,
Zero.
So the more we talk about this, it kind of makes no sense to get rid of Kyle Duggar.
Is this just like, are they literally just, did somebody come up? I don't know, maybe this is a stretch deal where they live and die by numerics and analytics, and he says he's just not worth the money. Like, but you've got plenty. It's not really going to hurt you much. Like,
and he costs the same either way. He's going to be around $14 to $15 million, whether you have him or you don't. I just think it would be a shame for a football team that is trying to build something to, Jabril Peppers did something to his ankle. He's going to miss 6 weeks. And then you're like, huh, you know who wouldn't be bad right now? Kyle Duggar. We could give him some reps rotationally right now in the back end because of the other thing you've brought up, Ted, is like this idea of if you have the stank of the previous regime coaching staff scheme, they smell it and they want to wash it off. They want to get rid of it. They want, is that it? Is it he's part of the old regime?
It would probably be the first thing I would think of is why they're maybe in such a hurry to get him out of here, because that there is a clear pattern of guys letting go of guys that were here previously.
And captains. He was a captain, I believe, a couple of years ago.
He was.
So he's a captain. He's a former scheme fit, player fit, stank fit.
Uh-huh.
And you're going to run him out of town? I don't know. The more we talk about this, the more it doesn't make sense to me to cut him.
Yeah, there's a lot. Does it make sense to cut, David Andrews? It makes sense to cut a lot of the guys, Jones, that were – there were, decent players here for this team.
You're right. I would kind of take David Andrews right now. I would kind of take Jonathan Jones right now.
The only reason I would, you can look back and say, you look at Juwan Bentley, David Andrews, both cut. Juwan Bentley has not been picked up by another NFL team. David Andrews has lost like 50 pounds since he retired. So that indicates that, they were probably, the fact that David Andrews looked like he already had 1 foot into the retirement door is probably supports that was probably a good decision, though.
I did want to touch on the quarterback position. Obviously, it's not Drake May, but you've been questioning the quarterback position in terms of, who's actually the best backup quarterback based on the summer? Is it Woldridge, not Orlando, but Ben, or is it Dobbs? How do you, we're going to see those guys tonight. You're going to have your...
You know what? That's probably the best thing to watch for.
Right.
I'm curious about the backup quarterback position.
And it's easy to watch.
It's the last game that, for the last time this summer, that we will talk about backup quarterbacks, and I'm for it for at least another few days.
And I know at one point Mike Vrabel was asked, is Dobbs the backup, or is there still a competition going on? And he made it clear that Dobbs is the backup quarterback and Woldridge is the third, and I don't know if he'll be on the practice squad. No. Whatever. But if Dobbs is actually this is where I get weirded out by the fear of playing guys and injuries and all of that. So if Dobbs is the real backup quarterback, shouldn't Woolridge play most of the game? Because you don't want your backup quarterback to be hurt. Because if you lose your backup quarterback, now you're SOL.
My guess is he does. My guess is that Woolridge plays most of the game. I bet you he starts and finishes it. If I had to
guess. He pulls an Etling like from years ago.
That would intrigue me. That's what I was talking about earlier. Like, to see that kid just go out there, start a game in New York against the Giants, maybe against Jackson Dart on the other side of the field, see how he reacts to it. That could be something that defines what the league looks at him as for the next few years, as a backup, as a journeyman, whatever he ends up being.
Yeah, perhaps. It's the third preseason game, so
I don't
get to get too worked up about
it. Big lights.
The value in Josh Dobbs, even if Ben Woolridge outperformed Josh Dobbs this training camp, he was never going to be the backup because they want an established veteran who will be a mentor and will help the Drake May. And Ben Woolridge is not that guy, so he doesn't fit that profile. So Josh Dobbs does. So no matter how bad he played in preseason, he's always going to be the backup.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's an interesting topic for us to address, and I don't know if by that time we'll have time. But that's a good Brian Hoyer question because he's lived that life from all angles of the quarterback room, right? Like the backup, the veteran, the starter, the Johnny Manziel years.
I'm curious if they come up to him and say, hey, this is what we want from you, or is it expected without saying anything? I'm just curious Do coaches come up and say, hey, we want you, you know what, you're going to be a backup. Sorry, you're not competing for the starting job. And they tell you what they want and from a leadership standpoint with the young guy, or is it just kind of implied?
Yeah, because a lot of that stuff matters in culture. When you're setting a culture, a new culture, and you haven't won anything and you haven't coached here, and you know, it might be different if you were 3 years in and you just came off a division title and a deep playoff run. I'm sure, did you ever deal with that where roles were so specifically defined? Like, you're really brought in to mentor this kid, or you're really brought in to back up this guy. And it's like, well, yeah, I mean, I know I might look like the backup, but what if I have a really good August? Could I be the starter?
If they didn't ask me to take pay cuts, I would have mentored younger guys. But no, they asked me to take pay cuts. I'm like, no, I'm good. Yes, you guys want me to mentor too? You didn't pay me enough for that. You know what's interesting real quick is you're talking about paying. Why pay Kyle Duggar, who's got the second biggest cap hit on the team, you know, to back up? And you could say, you know what? Look at what Atlanta's doing. They're paying Kirk Cousins, almost $50 million to back up a second-year quarterback.
Yeah, we can't say his last name according to the Chiron on, was that NFL Network? They misspelled it a little. It's Penix.
CBS Atlanta, yeah.
No, learn his name because I think he's going to be a good one.
You like him?
I'm a huge Michael Penix fan. Huge.
Huge Penix.
Wasn't he your second quarterback in the draft head?
Yeah, that was who I wanted. Jaden Daniels one, Michael Penix two, and then Drake May was my third.
Yeah, so it all worked out. You got the third, their third, everybody's third. 617-779-7937. Patriots play the preseason finale tonight. Duggar, Jennings, old guys in the spotlight, young guys in the spotlight trying to win jobs. But up next, we got to talk a little baseball. Our buddy Rob Bradford, Baseball Isn't Boring, will tell us why the password was brought up, what his role will be, and much more as the Red Sox and Yankees get ready to battle down in New York. But first, we have Dan Ball with What's Trending.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
WEEI Afternoons getting ready for the biggest baseball series of the year, Red Sox Yankees, and what better way to get ready for that than talk to our buddy Rob Bradford. Rob Bradford is presented by McFarland Energy, the heating, cooling, and bioheat delivery pros that Eastern Mass and all of Cape Cod depend on at McFarlandEnergy.com. Right now, Bradfo can yell, McFarland! Go ahead, Rob.
Oh, McFarland, and everybody yell McFarland. It feels so good. It feels so good. Come on, do it.
McFarland!
McFarland!
You know what else? Sorry, go ahead.
Yep.
I was just going to say, you know what else feels good is the password getting called up. I know this is a big series, and we'll get into all the other aspects of the series, but Justinkson Garcia has been called up. How good is he going to be? What's his role going to be? Why now?
Well, I thought you were going to say what else feels good is the Ace of Spades coming back in to introduce the interview. Excellent job by Tiz. He's earned that Baseball Isn't Boring face tattoo. It's going to be awesome. But speaking of things that are a little bit complicated, like Jeff Nixon's first name, I went around spring training asking guys who have played with him if they could spell it, and only one guy could. So that I think that I probably could now. I'm not confident.
Okay, go ahead. Whoa. Go ahead, hotshot.
Oh, okay. No, why did I do this to myself? okay, let's give it a whirl. Jhostxyon. What is it? What am I missing?
It's Jhostynxon.
I missed the N. I'll take that, though. I'll take that. Listen, it's going to be a long career, so we have plenty of time to do it. It's going to be a long. It's going to be a long weekend, so we have plenty of time to do it. But I think that it's going to be. It's really an interesting move. But this guy has really rose pretty quickly over the past of this year. I saw him playing a lot in spring training. He struggled in spring training. But he really found himself in Double A, and just kept on going in Triple A. Obviously, represents the best bat they have in the system. I don't think really it's even close, you know. So, you know, he was obviously going to be a key part of any Joe Ryan trade. They held on to him. I didn't think that they would need him like they right now, like they do need him, but they don't have a lot of outfield depth. And the fact of the matter is you need the punch at potential punch that Willie Abreu is leaving behind because he's going to go on the IL.
Bradfo, when I saw you a couple weeks ago, I asked you, you know, what besides pitching, what else should they have been targeting at, you know, the trade deadline? And you said more pitching, to be honest with you. And then you look at the last 10 games, you know, they're hitting .228 as a team. So clearly the bats have cooled off with Yoshida. Today in Rafaela, you moved to second base, and now you can't hit. Jaren Duran's struggling right now. What is the password the answer to these hitting woes? Because right now these guys can't score runs, and so are you worried about this, or is it just the ebbs and flows of a long baseball season?
No, I think you should be worried. You know, I think one of the things that I've been pretty consistent on is the fact is that you need the best case scenario for all these guys. You can't have them playing to the back of their baseball cards. And before they weren't, Ted, they weren't playing the back of the baseball cards. They were exceeding expectations, including Sidon Rafaela. But then that took a turn. And we've seen Abraham Toro. All right, for a while he was Dom Smith, the good version. Then he became Dom Smith, the bad version. And now he's gone. But you can't have that. You don't have the fail-safe like a team like the Dodgers, say, has at the top of the order with all these no-doubt-about-it guys. So, yeah, I mean, I think there is a concern. I wouldn't put too much pressure on a Nixon because this isn't Roman Anthony that's getting called up here. You know, this is a different level of prospect. But at the same time, maybe he catches lightning in a bottle. And the other part about this that sort of concerns me with the Red Sox is that, yeah, they go up against good pitching, like really good pitching. They get shut down recently. And I know that that's sort of like, yeah, no kidding. They're going to get shut down by good pitching. Everybody does. But guess what you have to face in the postseason? Good pitching every single time. And I would like to see them come out here out of New York and not only see what they can do against a team on the road, a good team on the road, but good pitchers on the road.
Bradfo, so, yeah, I think the offense needs a spark, and I'm hoping that a guy like the password can provide that for him. Maybe it'll be contagious for them. The offense wakes up. But we're also going to need some help in the bullpen. We're also going to potentially need some help in the rotation. You and I have both been aboard the Peyton Tolley train for a while. Great start this week. Mm-hmm. 5 innings, 3 hits, no runs, 5 Ks. Can you tell the people why they need some more Peyton Tolley in their lives ASAP?
Well, because, I mean, anyone who says they can smell the carrot, I mean, that's like that's the best line I've ever heard,
if
right?
You can't back a guy like
close
that.
To the majors? Yeah. Yeah, I mean, when you're close to the majors, I mean, that goes beyond baseball. Football players could say that. You know, there's like You look at, hey, Drake May, you know, he can smell the carrot. He can actually be good. And that's what Peyton Tolley has already given us. But I look at it as there is going to be one of these guys to come up, and there is going to be one of these guys who are going to say, much like we're talking about with Nixon right now, which they're going to lean on, and it's a case of where maybe they didn't want to lean on him, but they have to lean on him because if you don't get a better Jordan Hicks, if you don't get, you know, if you don't get the Justin Slayton that you had before, then you aren't going to compete. You need to get these other guys. You need lightning in the bottle from somebody. And Fitzy, you're right, man. Like maybe it's because of how he looks. Maybe it's because of what he says. Maybe it's because he was a high draft pick. Maybe it's because he throws hard. Whatever it is. But the image of Peyton Tolley, I just can see it as that guy who actually is impacting meaningful games at the end of the year.
Rob Bradford here with us on WEEI Afternoons, presented by McFarland Energy. We say that as often as we can in these hits. Bradfo, John Dennis-style two-part question here.
I didn't know where you were going. I don't know where you were going with that. All right.
So, Rafaela, Sadon Rafaela, A, do you actually believe his offense is being negatively impacted by having to play second base? And B, if that is the case, and you have a guy by the name of Vaughn Grissom in Worcester who can play second base, why has that not been a consideration?
Because I don't think they're convinced. I'll do the second part first. I don't think they're convinced that that is the case. And they look at it as, well, Sidon Rafael is a better defender. Sidon Rafael is a guy that when he's going good, he's proven that you can get his bat in the lineup. Sidon Rafael, if you put him at second, you open up for some of these other guys that you want to play. Now, I'll say this, you know, it has gone beyond a coincidence. I mean, the numbers don't lie, that when he plays second base, he hasn't been hitting. It's a tough one. And I think one of the biggest problems they have in this respect is that it does free up for these other guys, the Yoshidas of the world, and these other guys to play. Because otherwise, you can just roll out Romy the entire time. And maybe that's what they'll do. I don't know. But right now, you can't ignore what's going on, but you also can't ignore what exactly this team needs and hoping. I think that the way they look at it is, yeah, we understand what's going on, but we're willing to take the chance that he is going to find the rhythm that he had before, and it is going to fix itself. Because if you do get that Sadon Rafaela at the plate that you had before playing second, that is your best version of the Red Sox.
Real quick, you just said open things up for Yoshida to play. Can we close things for Yoshida playing? Yeah. This sounds disrespectful, but I don't really want to see him play anymore.
No, I'm kind of with you, Andy. And you know, I say that just because that's how they're thinking. That's why they keep running him out there. And it's one of these things where, you know, we went from, okay, he's coming off major shoulder surgery. We get it. You know, like, I understand. And I understand that he had some good runs that first year. His first year with the Red Sox. But at the same time, what we've seen of him isn't the impactful bat that you need from that position. It's just not. It's not even close. And so I'm with you. But, you know, I think that I'm just saying, like, how they are viewing it right now, that they're going to keep running him out there, especially, by the way, with Willier out. They're going to hope that, you know, whether it's him, whether it's Rafaela, whoever, and this comes back to the question that Ted had. They need these guys to get hot. They need these guys to turn the corner, because I don't know if you know this, science would suggest there's 5 weeks left, and these are really, really important games.
Science would certainly suggest. Hey, Brad Foe, this team's it's considerably different when you kind of look at how this team is now versus when they first played the Yankees in early June. You know, Christian Campbell was playing. Meyer was playing. Roman Anthony was in his first week. Rafi Devers was still on the team. Jaron Duran was hitting leadoff. David Hamilton played in almost every game of the five-game series. Alex Bregman was out with the injury. And the Red Sox, when they first started playing the Yankees in early June, were 9.5 games back of the Yankees. Now they're just one game back. And then Hunter Dobbins had 2 of the 4 wins went over the Yankees. It's a
yeah,
different...
remember the Hunter Dobbins stuff?
Yeah,
that
about
was great.
That? How about that? It's, I mean, so this version of the Red Sox, is it considerably better than the first time they played them when they won 4 out of 5? And if so, will that reflect in the win-loss after this is all said and done?
No, you know, it's funny because, yeah, the Red Sox have been better. You would go back to the last time they played them. Well, they lost the first game they played with the Yankees, and they've won the next 5. And then the last time they played them, they swept, and then they celebrated that sweep by kicking Rafael Devers off the plane. So that seems like forever ago, right?
Yeah.
But that's what we were talking about. And the Yankees were sort of running away with it a little bit. But then the Yankees just hit this awful skid for about a month and a half, and everyone was counting them out. The Red Sox, I think, a game and a half, 2 games up on the Yankees at one point, and everyone's saying, oh, there you go, Yankees in the rear view, here go the Red Sox. And now it's reverse course, and when we go into this series, the Red Sox have been better since the last time they faced the Yankees, but if you talk about the hotter team, the better team right now, it's the Yankees. I know that everybody has crapped on them for the last 2 months, but anyone who's been paying attention for the last week and a half, 2 weeks, will understand that this team is getting what they need from those relievers that they acquired, Bednar and Williams and Weaver, which are lockdown relievers. You're getting really good starting pitching. And by the way, you're hitting home runs all over the place, even with a banged up Aaron Judge. You're a really, really good team. So as they come into this series, you have to say that the Yankees probably feel a whole lot better about themselves. But like we said before, that was the case with other series where the Red Sox went in to play the Yankees and they came out of them feeling pretty good.
Hammer of Bednar. There's a reason why you and I wanted that guy, Brad.
Oh, your guy. I talked to him today. I said, oh, man, David, like, listen. Like, first of all, put on your – as we do this interview, please put on your baseballs and boring shirt. And he did.
Yep.
Thank you. And then I said, I can tell you, it was too bad you didn't go to the Red Sox, because the preeminent expert on swing pass,
yep,
Fitzy, he was the one screaming and yelling, like, is the place that you should have landed. Yes.
Yeah. hey, but as far as the Red Sox, nobody finds you know, day-old donuts and other people's trash better than Craig Breslow and the Sox. Is it realistic to think that Nathaniel Lowe will not hit a home run in every game, but like have a reasonably positive impact down the stretch?
Yeah, I mean, I think that we're looking at upgrades, right? And so is he an upgrade over Toro? As much as I love Abraham Toro, you know, he tried really hard and he had a good run. You know, it was going the other way, has been going the other way for about a month and a half. So you have a guy who won a gold glove. You have the guy who's not had a good year, but has had good years all leading up to this year. That was a good sign, obviously, the other day. So I think that if nothing else, it's just, hey, we think that this is going to be an upgrade over what we have. And best case scenario, you get the guy who was winning World Series with the Texas Rangers. So, you know, I have no problem with this. I think it's a good move because I don't think it's square peg round hole. I think it was an obvious fit here.
All right, Bradfo, you said it. The Yankees are hot. The Red Sox are not. The Yankees hit 14 home runs over the last two games, but the Red Sox have been really good against the Yankees this year. It's a really important series. It's August for an Alex Cora baseball team. That could mean another narrative about falling apart. Put it all in the Bradfo crystal ball blender. What are we expecting from this series?
Oh, I mean, first of all, you can buy those. I'm all good for a good the baseballs and boring Bradfo crystal ball blender.
Love it.
Who doesn't want one of those?
Love it.
you slap a sticker on that, it's like the price goes up $10 immediately. But I think they're going to split, and I think this is what's going to happen. You can play this next week, and I'll be wrong, but I think the Red Sox will win tonight because, you know, this you have one team who just came back, you know, late. I think they got in at 3:30 in the morning, the Yankees. The Red Sox have been here for 2 days. The Red Sox understand how important this is. So I think the Red Sox will win today. I think they'll probably win the Crochet game, but I think they'll probably split, and, you know, and then we'll be end up right where we are. But the problem is for the Red Sox, is that then it doesn't get any easier. We just saw how tough the Orioles have become. It's just there's no room for error here. But what you can't do is you can't have a catastrophic, I'm trying to think of the year, 2006, where the Yankees just bury you with a sweep. You can't have that. And I would be very surprised if that happened. But, you know, again, I was surprised that the Red Sox swept them last time. I mean, I was surprised when I sat down for my Father's Day meal a few hours later that Rafael Devers was traded. So, full of surprises this year.
All right, Bradfo, we will continue with these chats each and every week. And you're right, we have recordings, so we'll play this back depending on how things play out this weekend. And let's, one more time, you and I, we'll do it real quick. 3, 2, 1. McFarlane!
McFarlane, yeah.
Oh, you were late. You missed it. I thought you'd be ready. All right, Bradfo, enjoy the series. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, and hey, by all the way, also, guys, great job with the Jimmy Fund. Excellent job. So, all around.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you, Bradfo.
Everybody, great job. Appreciate it, Bradfo. We'll talk to you.
All right, thanks. See you, bye.
I also enjoyed Bradfo's little shot at Fitzy late in the interview. Did I hear that, Fitzy, right? Did you notice that?
Mm-hmm. That's called good-natured ribbing.
The expert in swing paths or
yes,
whatever.
The New England and sports radio's foremost expert in swing path. It's on my business card now.
All right, up next, we got to break down a couple of nuggets from Rob Bradford. We know he's an insider. He's baseball isn't boring. He's always with the baseball team. He's there in New York. Big series, some big topics to talk about. We got it next here on WEEI Afternoon.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Rob Bradford, Baseball Isn't Boring podcast, our guest a few moments ago here on WEEI Afternoons. If you missed that conversation, you can download the Odyssey app, rewind feature. You can follow our podcast, WEEI Afternoons, on the Odyssey app or iHeart or Spotify or anywhere you get podcasts. But I thought that was an interesting answer, and I've always believed that in baseball, maybe as much as any other sport because the season is so long, you need a foundational portion of your team and certainly your lineup to be those tent pole guys that, you know, doesn't matter if he has a slump in April or a hot streak in July, he's going to end up batting .287 with 22 home runs and 90 RBI. Mm-hmm. And this team doesn't have that, in part because they're young. They might have that in a year or two. Certainly Roman Anthony looks like a guy you're going to consider that. Like every year you're going to be able to pencil in what you know you're going to get from Roman Anthony, yeah. Right? And Bregman is a little bit of that. But Rafaela, Who knows? We had a texter earlier that was comparing him to Jackie Bradley, you know, one of the real streaky hitters in Red Sox history, who would have a month where he was great, and then at the end of the year his average is like 210.
But then when he's not great, how do you explain it? You know where his drop off happened. It was right when he was moved to second base.
And Bradfield acknowledged that. Mm-hmm. He said it's like two. It's not a coincidence.
And if you were to ask Cora about that, he'd laugh it off. Like there's no correlation. So to me there's got to be something to it. But when the team's hitting in the last 10 games, batting average of .228, and you look at the pitching staffs they played, they've had to hit against the Astros, the Padres, the Royals, the Marlins, and the Orioles in that time. I mean, the Astros have the ninth best staff in ERA. The Padres the 24th. The Royals the 4th. So those are, the Royals and the Astros. But the Marlins and the Orioles are both 23rd and 26th, respectively, in pitching staffs. It's not like they were facing, the best of the best.
So you're going to need to score some runs to win this series, Fitzy. I think that's pretty safe to say. You're not just going to roll out your 4 starters, shut down the Yankees, and win 2-1 every day or 3-2. Where is your level of the word we used earlier, I guess, confidence or anxiety in terms of the lineup? Is this lineup good enough and deep enough right now to go into Yankee Stadium and even split, never mind win a series?
Deep enough? Probably not, because it's not optimal, and you still have a bunch of guys that are struggling. If I see Sedan Rafael wake up, get an RBI, hit a home run, I'll feel a whole lot better about that. Maybe there'll be a carryover effect with somebody like Jaron Duran, who seems to be slipping a little bit lately as well. But hearing from Bradfo that a split seems fair, equitable, and a reasonable prediction, I feel a little bit better about that. Not great still, but a little bit better. I think they should win tonight. Luis Gil has an over 5 ERA, and you need to carry Crochet Day again because you have the pitching matchup.
I mean, I feel better that they don't have Isaiah Campbell. They kept him around a little bit too long. Giovanni Moran. And they, Fitz, they brought Fitz up, Richard Fitz, mm-hmm. and then Brendan Bernardino. Those guys were kind of hot and cold, but at least they were more reliable than those other, the first two guys I mentioned.
But I don't know if it's a good thing that your good feeling is guys they got rid of more than it is the guys you brought in. It's more like, thank God Campbell won't come in anymore or any of these guys to ruin games. And Fitzy, I don't necessarily want to go full on Fitzy 3-point take that got him in trouble, and because I don't want Nesson and Will Middlebrooks and all those guys to unfollow me and get mad at me and call me an
fun.
Idiot.
You'd be surprised. It's fun on this side of the street.
But I will say, Roman Anthony is a great baseball player, and he works great at bats, and the on base percentage is great, and he walks, and that's great. But when the rest of your lineup isn't doing its job, those aren't as valuable, right? Like, if your lineup is doing their job, then it's great that your leadoff hitter can get on base at a .400 clip. But when that's not happening, you need a little more pop than that. If he's going to be your best hitter, if he's going to be one of your 2 or 3 best hitters, sometimes it's probably not good enough for him to just walk. And that's a bad place to put him in, because now you ask him to change his approach and what he's doing. But that's the reality, is like, that's great that you can walk, but not if the next 3 guys strike out. Then you just stood on first base or second base for a few minutes. And that's where this team is, the timely hitting. I still think it goes back to that. And we had some texters yesterday, and I don't know if you guys agree with this, feel like some of these guys have gotten back into their trying to jack it out of the ballpark again. They're trying to hit home runs. Do you buy into that?
Well, maybe. You never know. I mean, with more winning they do, the more expectations come, the more pressure it gets tight. So it's, I would think we all agree, this is theoretically kind of a younger team than it is, veteran laden. Mm-hmm. So these are games that are, when you, the race is as tight as it is, are going to feel like kind of playoff games. Tonight's going to feel like a playoff game. So you're going to see stress points and times in games where, it's pivotal, where they needed to hit, and the pressure's going to be so much on these guys. Can they execute in those clutch moments? We're going to find out, but my guess is it's going to be I'm not hopeful. Let's just say that.
Fitzy, I remember, and this might be the situation for this team now, famously Charles Barkley once said, when a guy was going to the free throw line with a game on the line, said, "Whoa, you couldn't get a needle up his sphincter with a jackhammer." Mm-hmm. We're kind of closing in on that time for this baseball team and young players. We're going to find out how they react to that. 617-779-7937 if you want to join the conversation.
Red Sox Yankees starts tonight, a four-game series. Could decide the season. Yes, it's that dramatic, overdramatic maybe, but it's a really big series. Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, we have The Drive because it's 5. And then at 5:30, the big guy, Ted Johnson, needs to defend his crown. It's Quiz with Stiz. That's all next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.